This is WFAE News. I'm Gwendolyn Glenn. Radio stations at historically black colleges and universities have always played a special role in connecting the schools to their communities. Students receive training at the campus stations, and many have public affairs programs that give voice to people and issues not heard in other media. A new effort is underway to preserve the rich history and the programming these stations produced that documents the black experience from the days of using reel-to-reel recorders and 8-tracks to MP3s.
You can dial all around your dial, and you still can't get it like this. 88.9, the blues is the blues, man.
That's a clip from a 2014 broadcast of WSHA at Shaw University in Raleigh. It was the first HBCU-owned radio station when it went on the air in 1963. Currently, 29 of the country's 104 HBCUs have radio stations with mainly jazz, R&B, and public affairs formats. 7 are in North Carolina. The stations have served as advocates for social change through interviews with prominent civil rights and political leaders from the likes of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the Reverend Jesse Jackson to former President Barack Obama. But many of those recordings are at risk of being lost due to deterioration, outdated formats, or a lack of storage space.
A lot of times they get thrown out.
That's Dr. Jocelyn Robinson, founding director of the Ohio-based HBCU Radio Preservation Project and Archives Director at WYSO, a project partner. Her goal is to help HBCU radio stations preserve their archival cassette tapes, reels, 8-track, and other recordings.
In most cases, there was no relationship between the radio station and the institutional archives at the library. So that material wasn't being transferred over to the library as those formats became obsolete and were no longer able to be played back. If you can't play something back, you're not keeping it because you need that space for other things.
Robinson says she realized the significance of HBCU radio recordings when she came across recorded voices at Wright State University's WYSS station, where she was working on a graduate degree in archives administration.
WYSS collection had all these incredible black voices from Kwame Ture to Florence Kennedy to Alice Walker, Gwendolyn Brooks. I thought, you know, I know that quite a few HBCUs with radio stations. And I thought, you know, if this little radio station at this private liberal arts college has these voices, what might our institutions have in terms of their archives?
So in 2019, Robinson secured a $15,000 grant from the National Recording Preservation Foundation to survey the HBCU station's audio files. She used that information to get other funders interested. Donors contributed about $350,000 so Robinson could implement a pilot program to identify, sort, and digitize audio recordings at 4 HBCU radio stations. WRVS at Elizabeth City State University was one of them.
I saw committed folks who said, yeah, our material is important. Let's join together and preserve it. But Elizabeth City is really unique in that it had a lot of legacy equipment, old cart machines, and playback equipment that is kind of vital as you're looking at some of these old formats. And then they had the old formats too, DATs and carts and cassettes and such.
WRVS was Northeastern North Carolina's first public radio station when it went on the air March 18, 1986 at 6 a.m.
Good morning once again. My name is David C. Linton, and I've got music from Alfie. This is the very first day.
WRVS started out as 90.7 with 10,000 watts and is now a 41,000 watt station, frequency 89.9, that aired news, sports, gospel, jazz, and R&B programming. Station General Manager Melba Smith says the station's archives was filled with historical treasures.
As an institution of higher education, we are given the opportunity to meet and to bring numerous notable guests to our campus. They come to the campus radio station to do on-air interviews, guests to our commencement ceremonies. They are individuals who are of great respect in the Black community, not just local, but nationally known as well.
We are celebrating the 136th commencement convocation here on the campus of Elizabeth City State University. Our keynote speaker for the day will be Mr. Benjamin Ruffin,
Ruffin was a civil rights activist, business executive, and the first African-American to chair the UNC Board of Governors. WRVS's recordings like this were sorted and assessed by project team members to see what was salvageable. Smith says a lot of their tapes and reels were in poor condition.
Some were located in the closet in the back of our station. We identified items that were riddled with mold, mildew. Some were cleaned. Some of them had to be spliced and put back together. Others were in operable condition.
But Dr. Robinson, who was hands-on at the site, says
Elizabeth City is a place that where we've really found some amazing audio. Women's basketball games with St. Aug, commencements, public affairs show. I mean, there's all sorts of things. The sporting events was really one of my favorites. It's almost like you're there.
And with that, Coach, we're going to have a timeout.
At no charge, the RVS recordings were boxed by the preservation team and sent to the project's partner, the Northeast Document Conservation Center in Massachusetts, to be digitized and returned to the station. The same was done for the other three HBCU stations in the pilot initiative at South Carolina State, Fisk, and Savannah State Universities. Because of the success of the pilot program, Robinson says they received a four-year, $5 million grant from the Mellon Foundation to expand the project to assist all HBCU radio stations in preserving their audio content.
The intention had always been for the project to address all stations. And not only that, but to create a model that could be used by any radio station anywhere, particularly tribal stations and rural stations and community-based stations that may not have the resources to have an archivist work with their materials.
Smith says WRVS fits that description.
Had Dr. Robinson not approached WRVS, we would not have been able to pursue this project in this form. We are a very small staff. We operate off of limited resources and funding opportunities.
Smith says they had more than 65 hours of audio recordings from cassette and reel tapes digitized. They plan to make the content available on their website and at the American Archive of Public Broadcasting. Again, Dr. Robinson.
You know, HBCU radio is not just the voice of its campus. It's the story of a campus community. It's the story of a community that supports that campus. They're all of our stories as well. So the archives are not just an institutional story. It's all worthy of saving.
Robinson says their continuous support for the HBCU radio stations will include additional audio preservation training, grants to attend preservation conferences, and other resources. And although officials at Shaw University sold WSHA's license in 2018, Robinson says they will help them preserve their audio files as well. Gwendolyn Glenn, WFAA News.